okay? Get it through the Secretary of State in the state you're in, and then we file it at the county, and that becomes your lien document, and then you take that into bankruptcy, your organization, your citizenship organization, into bankruptcy, just like I sent that form, that non-UCC filing form to you, and we go in with a chapter, it's going to be a Chapter 7 bankruptcy, and it's an involuntary petition against a non-individual. Okay.
All right.
And we put all of our cards on the table and say liquidate all of our children, all of our citizenship creations. And then they've got to, the trustee is over all of those U.S. citizenships. Okay.
That's the trustee of the bankruptcy court.
Take them into liquidation.
You mentioned the trustee. That's the trustee of the bankruptcy court, or assigned.
Yeah, U.S. trustee.
Uh huh. Okay. And then he's liquidating liquidating that for the benefit of who?
For us. Okay. Yeah, we're the secured party. Okay, we're an organization also. We're two individuals, persons. We're a person on the land and a person on the sea. Okay? Normally with your hospital birth certificate or your Bible entry birth certificate, your birth entry in your Bible, and then your baptismal certificate, putting you as a person on the sea in admiralty. And see, an organization has to be two persons.
Okay.
So we come in as basically the creditor or the secured party creditor, and we're going to liquidate all of our U.S. citizenship. And see, the U.S. trustee is responsible for all the United States citizens.
So to have standing in order to do this, I guess being the secured creditor, actually as the trustee over the nom de plume, the trust.
Well, there's no trust, okay? That's where people gotten this all screwed up, okay?
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, there is no trust in this country, okay? Especially in this bankrupt system. There's really no trust. They're holding assets in trust, but it's not a trust. See, there's a big difference between that and the process. And everybody thinks really it's a trust, but it really isn't. It's a construction contract that we're operating under. And see, a construction contract is a contract that basically they can change and they add to and subtract from constantly. Just like a building contract.
Yeah, a living document.
Yeah, and see, that's what the codes of law, they're constantly changing the requirements of this contract out here. And then basically it's always being added to because you've got new assets and everything that are going into the contract. So it's a construction contract.
Okay.
And in a construction contract, you have to have performance and bid bonds.
Performance and what?
After is the performance and the bid bonds to liquidate. They have to pay performance and payment bonds, not bid bonds, performance and payment bonds. And see, our persons that are the citizens, they're normally all children, okay? Because in a lot of cases, they started out under age. Okay, this goes all the way back to the very beginning of the Bible. Okay, why were Adam and Eve thrown out of the Garden of Eden? Because they started eating off the labor of Cain, their firstborn. Instead of everybody working, basically they were living off the labor of the child. And see, the apple that Eve was eating, the apple is a child of the woman. The apple of a woman's eye is her children.
I know there's quite a legal study relating to this issue that we're all treated as, what's the word I'm looking for, infants? That we never attain the age of majority or legal age, and that we're always treated that way.
Well, we as the living are not treated that way. Basically, it's implied, but it's all about creations. See, when you go get a driver's license, okay, you just created a new child, and basically he just got born that day that you signed him in. So he now is under a child labor contract.
And so do they create a separate bond on that alone?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a payment and a good bond because that's a construction contract.
Okay.
So every time we basically signed up with a new one, we created a new construction contract with a new U.S. citizenship attached to it. And the U.S. trustee will work with the Secret Service and the U.S. Marshals in obtaining all this stuff. But the Secret Service and U.S. Marshals can't do anything until we put our lawful claim in.
And that's by putting in the bankruptcy.
Yeah, well, that's basically by getting this non-UCC filing done. Okay? And see, all these court cases, these mortgages and everything, the people and tax items, somebody else has put a non-UCC filing against your account out there. And see, when you go to court, basically that court is processing these non-UCC filings. You just don't know it. And if you don't have your proper non-UCC filing against your assets, you don't have a claim. The other person's got a claim, and that's what they're going to give to the other person.
Now explain this a little bit, the non-UCC filing, which apparently is also a lien, right?
It's a lien,
yeah. Okay? But if everything we do is in commerce and it's governed by the UCC, I guess this is being done on the private side.
It's all done under constructive contracts. Universal constructive contracts. That's what the UCC really stands for.
Okay, that's a first.
Yeah. You see, that's what we had to keep digging and digging at this. And one woman down in Florida, basically she got hers reopened when she did her non-UCC filing, and then took that down to the county recorder's office and put it into the land records, or basically into the county. Now it became a land record lien, and she is the secured party. See, everybody else out there that does this, like the banks and like the state and the IRS, if they do a non-UCC filing, they are not the secured party. They are basically a creditor, but they're only coming in as a beneficial owner. They're not the true owner.
Okay.
Okay.
So we're dealing with split title?
So we have the preferred lien in all cases. And see, even some third-party debt collectors file these non-UCCs against the people and then take them into court.
So you establish that you are the secured creditor by virtue of who you are and how you're identified by your name, being in fact the alter ego for the constructive contract, which is monetized by bonds and so forth in their system.
Yeah, by the certificate of live birth, by your driver's license, by your voter registration card, by your any UC or any EINs you applied for, your marriage certificate, you name it. All of these are constructive contracts.
Okay. So when you file your non-UCC lien, I see here you've got a space for a lien number. Is that particular in any way that it needs to reflect?
Well, you get that number from the state. Now, see, the state does not record this per se as a complete UCC filing. They only record the recording name of the person and basically the number and that it's a non-UCC filing. They don't tell, have all the details. You have to take that copy. Once they give you a number, you get that back, and then you take it to the county records and file it there. Then you get certified copies of that after you file it, and that's what you put into the bankruptcy court. Now, if with the certified copy, now you have it fully recorded, and it's a preferred lien.
So the first step in the process is with the state. Would that be the Secretary of State?
Yeah, Secretary of State, normally.
Okay,
so you have to get it done there.
So there you get your number, then you take it to the county recorder, and that would be filed in the, what, miscellaneous or?
Miscellaneous or whatever file they want to put it into. Some states are a little different.
Yeah.
So you have to find out at the county what their requirements and where they're going to file. But then you get certified copies. And see that document I sent you this morning, but I sent you a copy of the non-UCC example the other day.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And so basically you have to, and you use like your name or your all capital name, and then it's a United States bankrupt citizenship organization. That's the debtor. Because there's more than one person making up that organization.
Which is,
and then
your name in the legal fiction, right?
Well, the all capital name.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
Okay. And then down below, your name as the secured party creditor is capital first letter, small letter, okay?
The living
and
person.
And you are an American private international organization.
I see here.
See, we're an international organization. Okay, and because we can cross state lines. And every state is basically classified as a separate nation.
I see here the title you use is Private Attorney General.
And basically, yeah, we are
under
also since we are an organization, we're a governmental organization, also a governmental organization, so we are a private attorney general for our government. Okay, and the Supreme Court has even ruled that we are a private attorney general.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah.
In fact, we have the duty to act in that capacity. It's not an option.
Yeah, and we're also classified as a private postmaster general.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, because see, we can post. We're a postmaster because at our mailbox, we receive mail, we sort it, and then we can send it out.
Interesting. Yeah.
See, I went around with that one on with the postal inspector when they were trying to get me with mail fraud.
Oh, okay. So you've got all the research on that, I presume.
Well, we've been down just about every rich road possible out here, and have held most of these guys totally at bay.
So where is this lady at? I guess...
she's in Florida, okay?
But I mean in terms of the process.
Yeah, she basically, somebody said something to her about doing non-UCC filing. Well, she's out there trying to do just about everything. She's done a whole bunch of different things. And she reopened the bankruptcy case that she filed in 2014. She reopened it on April 2nd and then got this in a couple weeks ago. And basically they called her in and basically they're terminating. She had roughly about $5 billion altogether in her account. And that has to be processed. They have to go in with the Secret Service and the U.S. Marshals and go through all the accounts and see if there's any fraudulent liens or anything there. And if there's any fraudulent ones, they can turn around and file charges against like a court or anything like that, a third-party debt collector that has placed a fraudulent lien out there and obtain money.
Well, they could be busy on that, huh?
Yes.
I mean, just about everything filed is fraudulent.
The Secret Service is over the enterprise financial management system in this country. They know every account you have from day one.
So what would they do in the event of a fraudulent IRS lien, for example? File charges against the person who filed it?
No, they would probably terminate it.
That'd be a step in the right direction, wouldn't it?
Yeah, basically, that's not, everything is going to be settled, okay? And in most cases, these guys are going to terminate. But if anybody has received the money illegally, like a third-party debt collector or a court, the Bar Attorneys Association have gone in and received funds illegally, there's attorneys, there's judges, there's third-party debt collectors, which are normally attorneys, and they could all end up going to jail.
Well, that's my point, because none of the liens filed by the IRS are legitimate for the most part.
Well, whether they actually do or not, okay, and see, in most cases, those will be just terminated. See, they've never, that is an organization unto itself, okay, and... But they're not going to take the IRS and send them to jail, but they would for these bar attorney courts or the any attorney that has been filing and getting kickbacks in the process.
How would
they don't make the payment back?
How would that work in the case of criminal charges, either settled or pending? Would that work
against you?
Yeah, against the person.
Those would be settled.
Yeah.
They'd be terminated. Because the charge is not against you, it's against your fiction.
Right. That's the point of my question.
So they're going to be liquidated.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
So all pending claims, charges, liens, attempts to collect
everything
debts,
is going away.
Yeah.
And you will be basically getting remarked just like Cain did, okay? Cain came out of the system, okay? And what did he do? I'm not my brother's keeper. You're not the keeper of your fictional persons. You haven't been keeping them.
No.
These beneficial owners have been the keepers of them. And then they see the blood when he killed Abel went into where? The ground. And see, that's what is going to happen here. It's going to be grounded, and that $5 billion that basically this woman had has to be turned back into silver. So roughly it's about 17 to 1 conversion ratio back the other way. So she's going to be getting somewhere around $200 million in silver after all settlements. And that will be with the Treasury Department, and that's the de jure treasury of the country.
And so how will that affect her going forward into the future in terms of her status?
She will basically have this non-UCC filing. She will get a debit card from the Treasury Department. And basically she will also get remarked as a state citizen with a green passport.
Those actually exist?
Huh?
Those actually exist? I've heard of them.
Yeah.
Okay. A green passport being an American national, huh?
Well, it's basically you are a state citizen. You're not a United States citizen, but you are really a citizen of an American citizen.
Right, right.
Yeah, you don't want to be a national citizen.
Okay, among the several states.
Now, you go in and study a little on that, and basically you'll find out that that's, when you use that, you're classifying yourself in the wrong category.
Right.
You're still putting yourself under the United States corporation control.
Yeah, being the nation. Okay. So
false nation.
So the green passport represents what?
Represents the de jure America.
Okay.
So you're an American citizen. See, that's what Abraham Lincoln in the Expatriation Act. It does not say United States citizen in there whatsoever. It says American citizen.
Right.
And then like Davy Crockett, he was called, or Jim Bowie, basically one of them, I can't remember which one. They were called the Kentuckian. Because that's the state that they came from.
Sure.
That was their citizenship, or their citizen state.
Back when the states held the power.
Yeah, and see, with that green passport, basically you're an American citizen, and you can go anywhere, and that will also be essentially your identification card for driving or anything else. Even though you don't drive, you're just operating the vehicle.
Yeah.
So that will be your operators or whatever of your carriage.
Okay. So, for this process, what other documentation would be necessary? Certified copy of your birth certificate, and then you need to go through the regular procedures for federal bankruptcy court application form with them?
Uh-huh. Yeah, you file a B-205 form, okay, that's for involuntary petition against a non-individual, okay, because you're doing against the organization. And then you do the D-410 form, which is the proof of claim document. And that's what you would attach your certified copy of this document I sent to you today and the use in the non-UCC filing document after you get it certified.
Okay. And then once it's filed with the county and certified, you file that with the bankruptcy trustee?
Yeah, you send one copy to the bankruptcy clerk of the court, and you send one copy to the U.S. trustee, and tell him to pay all filing fees. Because he's over the debtor, and the debtor always has to pay.
Okay.
Yeah, the creditor isn't supposed to pay anything.
Yeah, yeah.
And then see if we get harmed afterwards, or we have been harmed in any way, like false imprisonment. You can basically come in under Title 15, U.S.C. Section 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
And you can put a UCC filing in against that corporation for up to $100 million per item, and per individual, if an individual was pertinent in harming of you, you could put a claim against them for $1 million per charge that you make. Okay, so you put that on a non-UCC filing, you get that recorded, and then you put that into a Chapter 15 bankruptcy action.
Forcing liquidation of that individual or organization to settle.
Getting reimbursement from that organization, going against their bonds of operating out there.
Now, I know government officials have gotten real sensitive about this commercial lien filing business, and in some states they've passed laws against doing any filings that are not court sanctioned. How does
this is not a commercial lien?
That's my question. How does this differ from that?
This is a payment lien. A construction contract payment or a performance lien. See, a construction contract has to have a payment bond and a bid bond in place. And these are Miller, under the Miller Act. Okay? Mm-hmm. Nobody's ever talked about these payment or performance bonds before because they never understood that everything we have is a construction contract.
Yeah, it offers a whole new perspective on things.
Yeah, so we're not coming in under a commercial lien. This is far better because, see, our children, our creations, that are these fictional persons, they're our children. And they've been operating under the child labor system out here by the bankers and by the government. And see, that's what basically Cain was doing, was working for the bankers, and it's for his parents. Adam and Eve were not good parents. They were shitheads. Yeah, because they were using Cain for their benefit. They were sitting on their ass while Cain was out there getting all the food for them.
Okay.
And see, that's what happens in a lot of cases out here. Okay, you have a farm. Okay? And basically the children grow up on the farm. Do they get paid for their labor? No. You've got to file a labor claim against the farm. Okay? Then when your parents die, and basically it goes into inheritance, okay, you have more of a claim against that farm than the taxes or the sale price that farm's going to be, so there's no taxes because it's all labor.
Yeah.
Yeah, and see, that's what people don't understand. And they're letting the damn government take a third of the damn sale price of the damn farm.
It's a racket.
Because they didn't file a payment lien or a performance lien against, and see, the same thing goes with the mortgage. You created a child that is out there working to pay off that house for you, and you've got to come in and place a lien against his performance or his labor.
And that child would be the mortgage agreement.
That is the one that is moved over to you sign as the creditor on the right-hand side of that mortgage contract. And then the bank turns around and puts your name over on the left-hand side as the debtor.
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically you just create a child, a one-day-old child, right there on the spot. He's not as old as you. He's brand new. You just birthed him.
So this could also be used to liquidate mortgages.
Yes.
basically any claim that you might have. Where
all of those on this document.
Uh-huh. Powerful. Not only in the result,
but... We were so damn close all the time in the process, but we didn't know about this non-UCC filing. Now, some people told me that they did, that they went to the Secretary of State to mark the box non-UCC filing, but they never recorded it at the county. And then they came in as individuals, in most cases, on the UCC, when both parties have to be organizations. You don't be an individual.
Would it add any authority to establish yourself as the postmaster on the document with a stamp and autograph?
Yeah, you've got to be basically like Jesus. Jesus couldn't come out of the system until basically he got baptized. Then he could walk on water. So now he was operating in admiralty and he could bring his ship ashore. Okay, and see, that's what one of the guys came in and went into the U.S. Court of Claims, and the judge wrote back to him and says, hey, you're still out at sea. You haven't claimed your christening vessel, which is your baptismal certificate, to place yourself into admiralty. See, we're supposed to be a person on the land and a person on the sea. Then you have your two persons. Now you are an international organization based upon that. That's why I wrote that cover sheet the way I did.
So the person in all capital letters is the person on the sea?
No.
No?
No.
So the way around?
Did they write on your baptismal certificate? Did you ever get baptized?
Sure.
Okay. Did they write your name in all capital letters on the baptismal certificate?
I have no idea.
They wrote capital first letters, small letters.
So that's the person on the sea, the living.
That's the person on the sea, because what do they do when they're going to put a new ship in the water? They break a bottle of champagne over and they bestow a name on that vessel.
It's christened.
And what are they doing in baptism?
Same
thing.
They
are sprinkling water over your forehead or dunking or whatever and blessing your name. So you are now a vessel on the seas.
Okay.
A water vessel. Well, before you were just a land vessel.
Okay. Interesting perspective.
Yeah, see, that's even in Moses, basically, where did they pull him out of? They pulled him out of the basket that was in the lake.
Yeah, floating on the river.
Yeah.
Okay, wow. Just trying to digest all this.
Yeah, see, a lot of people just can't fathom what the Bible really says. And it's so simple when you start breaking this backwards and seeing how this all fit into place now.
Yeah, well, that's what's amazing is how everything seems to be interwoven with examples all around us, and you're giving us biblical examples, which, you know, now that we have the perspective, it just seems obvious, but none of us have ever seen that before.
Yeah.
So it's like...
And basically, yeah. And most people out here have been going and they continue to argue all of these codes and everything else, trying to make those things work in court, and it ain't.
No.
You've got to have your claims, your liens. You have the superior lien or claim, and you're going to win. It's that simple. And see, that's where most people fall down. They don't have the right claim or lien when they're going into a court action.
When a person gets their certified copy of the birth certificate. I know there's been some talk about doing so as it applies to, for example, if you're moving to Taiwan or other countries, that some countries are a part of the Hague Convention, others aren't, and I don't quite understand all the ins and the outs on that, but has that issue ever come up in terms of, does that affect?
Well, is what, okay, if you don't get fully out of the system, okay, you put this lien in, this payment or performance, payment and performance lien in, against your certificate of live birth, your DD-214, all your other instruments. You have that file. Now you've got a claim number, okay? And then when you take a copy of your certificate of live birth, you can basically process that through the system and put your claim number on there and then have that process back to the U.S. trustee to transfer funds over to you. But you're still in the commercial system.
Right.
You're not out of it. When you come out of the system, you're going to get a debit card that can be used worldwide. You can go to any ATM machine and draw money out right now. You can go down and buy 50 cars off the dealer's lot. You can go and buy a house with that debit card.
I've been hearing more and more instances of this actually coming up, so apparently people are getting this figured out in one way or another.
Well, some people claim it, but they haven't got the proof, okay?
Yeah.
And right now I'm starting to see it, that there's very, very few, because you go into the bankruptcy system, and most bankruptcy filings for Chapter 7 are individual bankruptcy filings. There's less than 1,000 per year of an involuntary bankruptcy petition against a non-individual. And so out of that, most of them are commercial corporation against another commercial corporation.
Are there?
So there's really very, very few that are actual people like you and me doing this process.
Right. Since this is a forced involuntary bankruptcy petition by a third party secured creditor, are there requirements that must be met for the trustee to accept the petition?
No. You're coming in as the creditor. You have that recorded at the county. And you basically are coming in as you have those notarized at the county. You send the certified copies up to him, and you're not coming in as a third party. You're coming in as the principal party.
Principal.
Over this action.
Right.
The creditor.
Okay. So there are no hoops or requirements that have to be met in order to do this. You're the creditor,
that's the principal.
You
get that recorded at the county and you've got it done.
Sounds simple.
It had to be simple.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And see, that was part of one of the things, the key thing was the du jour courts of the county bought three supervisors or three supervisors or three commissioners of the county. That is the de jure court of the county. These other fraudulent bar attorneys are just administrators, and they're fraudulently acting as construction contract administrators.
Yeah, they're administrators.
Like if you wanted to go to a de jure court in the county, it was your commissioners.
Yep.
You would get three of those commissioners, and they would have to hold a tribunal court. And basically, in most cases, a non-harming, there's not going to be another party in that court to complain. Because there's no injured party.
No. No firsthand knowledge, no witnesses.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah, no injured party. It's all fraud that they see coming in. And that was the court that George Washington wouldn't sign the contract or the Constitution until he was assured that basically the states were going to have ecclesiastical courts in the counties.
Hmm. So basically, if I've got a mortgage I don't want anymore, if I've got criminal charges, if I've got IRS liens, if I've got any claim against me, this process would resolve that and get it settled.
Right.
Wow. Think of the possibilities.
Yeah, and basically if you got thrown in jail, you could turn around and basically come after them under a, because they restrain your right of trade and commerce. That's a violation of Title 15 USC Section 1.
Yeah.
Okay? And basically you can file a charge against the state or whoever put you in jail for up to $100 million per charge.
Restraint of trade.
Yeah. And then basically the judge or anybody else that was the attorney, and basically even your defense attorney was making a profit off of you going to jail.
Sure.
Yeah.
Wow. So you've got one lady going through the process now. I suppose there's a number that are kind of watching to see what's going to happen.
Well, there's a couple of us that have our UCC or non-UCCs filed last Thursday, and several more are going to be putting out tomorrow or Monday.
Uh-huh.
And basically then how soon they get them done, get them through the court or the county recorder's office, and their bankruptcy forms filled out, set back in, how soon they get out. And hopefully it processes pretty quick, especially for the early birds.
Yeah. Yeah, get in ahead of the tidal wave. My goodness gracious. Well, fascinating information. I am really excited about the possibilities, and really appreciate you presenting this for us.
And, yeah, well, we were sitting so damn close all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was just missing a couple items. And over the last couple of months, basically, we were able to pull a lot of this together. The constructive contracts, being an international organization, and with our hospital birth certificate or our Bible entry, birthing document, as a land person, and then the baptismal certificate as a vessel on the seas, so that we can operate both on the land and the sea. Because see, the first four letters of America is AMR. Okay, Amir. Okay. An emir is a prince. So you are a prince on the land. And then in admiralty, the first five letters of admiralty stand for prince also. So now you're putting in as a prince on the land and a prince on the sea. And see, that's what basically the movie or the play that Shakespeare wrote about the Merchant of Venice. Hmm. The court that they went into was the prince's court.
They were the prince.
Yeah, and basically, then the adjudication and everything came out that just like Jesus, he was a prince on the sea and on the land.
Gang, Getting back to the documentation, when you first go to the Secretary of State, do they recognize a non-UCC?
Yeah, it's on the form. You just mark the box, non-UCC.
Okay, so there's a form to fill out to submit your document.
Yeah, now most cases you're not going to be able to do this online and do an electronic filing. I don't think they have the box on the electronic filing. Okay, so you're going to either have to fill out the form and then print it out and fax it in or mail it in.
Okay.
And if you fax it in, you're going to have a debit card or something they can debit.
For the filing fee.
Yeah, for the filing fee. Otherwise, you send a money order in with it.
Okay. But the trust, the trustee for the bankruptcy court pays those filing fees.
No, you got to pay these. Okay.
Right, these, the Secretary of State. What I'm saying.
Yeah, with the Secretary of State to get this filed.
But you said in the federal bankruptcy court, that trustee will pay those filing fees.
Right, you're going to put a notice into the clerk of the court that they see any filing fees for this process need to come from the U.S. trustee because the debtor is the one who is obligated to pay all filing fees.
Sure.
You would write that in your cover letter when you send your package into the clerk of the court. You would also address that to the U.S. trustee that he is now also obligated to pay all filing fees.
Mm-hmm.
And in most cases, you're also going to want to present like a claim for so much right away, immediate relief. Okay, and in some cases, if you've got receipts, you can put this in using the SF 1047 form, and you would put that lien number on that 1047 form to basically get compensated for the past bill or items that you paid out of your back pocket.
And that form is a distribution of proceeds from liquidation of securities?
Well, it's a refund.
Refund.
Voucher,
okay.
Or refund form. Yeah, so it hasn't changed since 1973, and I'm sure I sent that one to you before.
Yeah.
SF 1070 or 1047.
Yeah, I've looked at them. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let me digest this and see if we can't get in process and see if we can't create some freedom somewhere.
Yeah, okay.
That's the idea. So keep me apprised of developments on your end, and I like to stay in close contact on this and look forward to some success with it.
Okay.
So great. Well, thanks for your time, and have a good evening.
Yeah, have a good night.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.